form.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go. We're all working.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist Dr. David Sanford, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before. Or, failing that, hopefully putting a fun back in dysfunctional and bring some insights into the issues of life, love, and that ever-present search for a decent relationship. And we'll be joined once again at the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neuro Rehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge research called A Minute on the Mind. Today's topic is, why don't men talk about feelings? And we have some experts here about not talking about feelings, who are actually men. Good morning, guys.
Well, Jim Hughes here.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Hughes.
Good morning, David.
All right, jump right in, guys. What about men not talking about feelings?
Okay, that not talking about feelings obviously is very different from not having feelings or not expressing feelings.
David, I'm getting some echo from you, so if you're not using a headset, you might want to turn down the volume of your speakers there.
Okay, I am using a headset, but I'll see what I can do.
Okay, go ahead.
Not talking about feelings implies relationship. And expressing feelings doesn't imply relationship particularly. You can just sort of get frustrated in your golf game and throw your club. You can express all sorts of feelings. But talking about them is social behavior, and I think a lot of guys and with female partners figure that women are much better at that than they are. Mm-hmm. That they just naturally have a language of feelings, and that men grope around a lot to find anything like the same language. And in many of the relationships I've known, men don't talk about feelings because they think that activity is one that they're not very good at. Right. And their female partners are much, much better, and they keep them out of shape.
Right. Yeah, I think men in lots of ways are intimidated about talking about feelings, and I think sometimes they're much slower about talking about feelings, and sometimes it's good if their partner gives them just a little bit of time and space and room to kind of come up with and sort of tentatively talk about their feelings. So I think the partner can have some impact, some influence on this that can be positive.
Certainly, I was just going to jump in around the deer in the headlight syndrome with males sometimes when the spouse says, "What are you feeling? Or how can you never feel?" You know, we're easily overwhelmed to the point where, you know, I'm so disconnected from my feelings because I'm addressing this urge to share my feelings. But it's kind of like that deer in the headlight syndrome.
Yeah. One of the most dreaded phrases, I think, for men is, "We need to talk." And I think sometimes women are more focused on the relationship and more the canary in the coal mine kind of thing in terms of knowing that there's something that needs to be addressed or something that needs that needs to be worked on in the relationship, and just coming at it already primed and ready to talk about it. And like you say, here comes something where she's going to be entering a realm where I, as a male, am not as comfortable, and she may be, you know, talking rings around me, and I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to fare in this arena.
So in that sense, at least as men, it's often experiencing the playing field is not level. Somehow,
David, you're not coming across clear at all. Hughes, are you having trouble hearing David also?
I did. He was kind of like underwater.
Yeah. Maybe you need to call in again or something, because it's just not coming across well.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and try again.
Jim, I thought he was making an attempt there to talk about his feelings, and, you know, they just came out all verbal, probably, in some of the ways that women may hear our feelings.
I think you may have a point there. I think he may have, you know, a built-in filter. that just garbles everything. Oh, man.
Well, I think that's part of the discussion. We may have a different, males may have a different language associated with their feelings than women do, and we're misunderstood, or maybe sometimes our feelings are misunderstood, and maybe we're not so clear about what we're feeling either at times, and don't have a healthy language or a clear language around that at times.
Right. I remember a time long, long ago, when I was very uncomfortable with crying, awkward with it, crying. And now I'm very comfortable. But back then, I wasn't. And I think, you know, working in this profession and all the kinds of experiential learning that you do with this, I've become very comfortable with crying. I also didn't cry myself much. I really had to relearn how to cry or about crying. I remember when it happened for me, it was with a therapist named Joseph Zinker in a Gestalt group that I did with him, and it was a very powerful experience and really helped me get back in touch with crying and with, you know, feelings that I'd repressed. You know, big boys don't cry. I mean, you know, you were expected as a male child not to express so-called weak feelings or emotional feelings or those kinds of things. So I think partly it has to do with getting back in touch with your feelings or being able to kind of identify them and articulate them. And, you know, it was a learning process for me over time. A number of years ago. So, and I remember, you know, I remember clearly pre and post being able to get in touch with certain aspects of myself and certain feelings.
Excuse me, guys. Can you hear me?
You're good now, David.
I am better? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Hughes, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to pick up on where Jim was left off a little bit around some of those early social messages that are given to boys and girls in different measures. And, you know, Jim, you touched on a huge one, you know, big boys don't cry, or I'll give you something to cry about. You know, we are shamed out of our feelings at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not parents don't necessarily understand the impact of that long term. Obviously, the kids don't want to shame their parents or be ridiculed or teased by their peers or family. So, you know, it's easier not to have feelings than to have feelings.
Right.
Well, a question that I actually don't have an answer to is, to what degree are we talking about a traditional sort of gender roles that are changing a great deal? I mean, certainly...
Oh, yeah.
The generalizations that you're making certainly apply to my childhood, or when I was that age, and it sounds like to yours as well, but I think we may have a very different situation now. You know,
yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, you guys,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know about that. You guys have you know, kids and grandkids and so forth, and you see their peers and you know, see them at school and those kinds of things. Do you notice a big change, small change?
For myself, I see a huge discrepancy between very traditional ways of raising kids, tough boys, don't cry, to I see parents giving their children lots of room to emote whatever they're feeling and to take as much time as they need to. So I think there is a huge shift going on, but there's just a lot of disparity, and you know, it's on a case by case, family to family basis.
But I mean, do you remember when you were a kid and comparing it to what you see now? Do you see a general difference or not? How about you, David? You raised.
I can't. I mean, I'm thinking about friends, young children, and also the way my son and my daughter treat their respective grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's radically different than it was when I was a kid.
Right. But you know, maybe a skewed sample in terms of, you know, you treated your children in a certain way, and I'm not being patronizing this, but I think you're, you know, more evolved in terms of being in touch with feelings, and Hugh's the same thing, and so your friends and your friends' children may be very much a skewed sample. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting if we had someone who has another perspective. I think it has changed, but I don't know how radically.
Well, the degree to which a male is willing to, in relationship, to share his feelings and talk about feelings is partly, or maybe even largely, a function of, first of all, of whether his work life allows him to do so. In other words, whether he has opportunities at work to develop the skills that are involved in sharing feelings, and of course, whether his own personal relationships encourage that or allow it. I mean, a guy who is in a marriage in which there is a clear benefit to himself to be able to share feelings, and he feels equally or nearly equally competent as his partner, female partner, to do the same, is obviously going to be much more invested in the sharing of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, than is somebody who's just never had an opportunity and sees no benefit to learn the expression of feelings and practice it, you know?
Right. I think, you know, a lot of the corporate world now is somewhat anti-feeling. I mean, a lot of college students are not getting liberal arts degrees. They're getting business degrees or you know, degrees that are helping them to have a career, and not getting into the arts and the liberal arts. So I don't know. I mean, it may be a mixed bag these days. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what the research is, and maybe when Mark comes on later, he'll have something to say about that. We've got a couple of people who've called in to listen. If you've called in and listening, and you got a question or a comment, press 1 on your phone or your computer. There we go. Okay, we've got a caller, so let's go to our caller for a second. Hi, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good.
Your topic, why men don't talk.
Yeah.
Part of that from experience has been that the communication skills will not be there to express themselves adequately enough that they feel comfortable enough to talking. And in another set of situations, usually when that part fails, the misinformation or miscommunication leads to betrayal of ideas and confrontation that they remember, and it sends a negative vibe out that in the future they don't want to, they don't want to do that again. So they learn from experience by negative reinforcement due to a problem with poor communication skills. And the clients that I've had over the years that have run into that situation, I have basically given them some behavior modification techniques of communication to help them avoid that pitfall. Mm-hmm. But it's becoming more and more common today because, let's face it, verbal communication skills are breaking down as we speak throughout society.
Mm-hmm. What was that phrase used? Betrayal of...
Betrayal of communication techniques.
No, it was betrayal. No, something. It was betrayal of something when they brought up
Well, they're unable to express themselves adequately about what they're talking, so the ideas that they're trying to put out are betrayed, and a betrayal communications breakdown takes place to the point of where they're betrayed by their own information because they didn't put it down in a fashion that was acceptable, so they end up in a confrontational situation when they really were probably in agreement with the other person's ideas.
Well, very, very interesting concepts. Thank you, caller. Yeah.
I think that there's a general assumption, and I think maybe in this conversation that assumption is being shared, that the ability of men to share feelings is inevitably going to be measured against the ability of women to share feelings on the assumption that women are just naturally better at it. I don't know whether our caller intended this or not, but the sense I get, and I thought he expressed that too, was that communication skills and the practice of communication is sort of breaking down all over. And if that's true, then it's not that women set a standard that men, are supposed to live up to. They're not so good at communication either.
Oh, absolutely. I think they much overvalue their ability to communicate. And sometimes they think they're talking like it is or the truth or whatever. And it's their skewed, personal subjective look at what's going on, which is legitimate, but may not be the whole truth. And and I think if the man is intimidated to be able to articulate his truth in a certain way, then it can get a little one-sided. The other thing I want to ask you guys about: what do you think? What do you think about our being wired differently? I think men were, evolutionarily selected to be more of the hunters and out, doing something physical. And women were more selected to be able to make the community a whole and to keep it unified and to keep it functioning. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm always struck how that kind of plays out relative to communicating back and forth with women and men. And it seems to me that men are much more wired for solution-oriented, bottom-line results.
Right.
Let's move on. Where women are much more process-oriented. Let's talk about our feelings. And I don't necessarily need to get to an end point. And I think that can really be a difference relative to the two genders coming to a table to talk about an item.
Right.
I personally can't speak about the degree to which that's sort of hardwired in our brains versus the degree to which we're socialized to those two different orientations. I think as a generalization, it's certainly true that men are more oriented to identifying and solving problems, and women are more oriented to relationship, and I'm sure all three of us see that over and over in our counseling work. The woman only wants to share what's going on with her and get a sharing response back from her partner. And the guy thinks, my job is to find what the problem is here and make the best suggestions that I can. Right. And she says, you don't get the point. And indeed, he doesn't, and she doesn't appreciate what he's trying to do.
Right, and I think if she can be clearer about, I just want you to listen. I just want you to understand how I feel about this, rather than fix it. You know, I think that can be less confusing to the guy. And I think if she can be clear after he's felt like he's done nothing but sit there and listen, that was really helpful to her. If she can say, "You succeeded. You fixed that when you listen to me," I think that will give him much more of a sense, I did something constructive. I did something worthwhile here. And he can start to learn that is something of value and can learn to do it better even, I think.
Sure, right. Another issue here related is the degree to which fathers and mothers parent equally.
Mm-hmm.
If they follow the traditional pattern that certainly applied when I was a child, then and dad's out in the world, you know, slaying woolly mammoths and so forth, and bringing the meat
home.
Your dad did that. The only time I ever got a feeling from my dad, I hate to say this, it's like betrayal. The only time I got a feeling from my dad was when he was working on repairing something and he hit his finger with the hammer.
Oh.
I think that was kind of it. My dad was very good at judgments and stuff, but he really... I don't know what went on in there, but at any rate.
Right.
So my mom was the one, huh? My mom was the heart of the family, you know?
Right.
She was the expressive one. I think that pattern is in real decline, and that guys are very, very much involved in co-parenting. And to the degree that that's true, I would expect them to be much more feelingful and feeling sharing,
right?
Because of that role.
I hope you're right.
What do you think of that?
I hope you're right. seriously. I don't know the research on that. And
yeah.
Mark hasn't called in, so I'm not sure we can rely on him today for some of the research stuff, but. As long as we're betraying our fathers, my father was
joined in.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going to join in. you've paved the way for me, David. You've made it.
Oh
dear,
I feel worse already.
Maybe,
go ahead, betray your dad.
Yeah, really. My father, like you said about your father, very good about judgments, and he was. He was kind of an arch Republican. And I remember when he retired, and I was going on a drive with him. We were actually going up to a place called Rainbow City in Florida where he had bought some property. And he started what seemed to me to be talking about his feelings about retirement. And I just, you know... sat up straight in the car and looked over, waiting, you know, finally I'm going to get some feelings from my father about what it feels like for him to be retiring. And he really was going on a kind of a Republican rant about the evils of Social Security. And I just wilted, you know. It was one of my first times that I was going to hear. You know, the other time, Well, I won't go into that. But anyway, I've betrayed my father enough.
I guess it's my turn to betray my father.
Yeah, come on. You still leave us out here alone and naked with this, okay?
I'm just over here having feelings all by myself alone. Nobody can see me, so I'm doing fine.
Okay.
No, I've had that experience with my father, too, where he has taken a risk to share a feeling, but it doesn't go very far, you know? And, you know, looking back on that, boy, that was probably a big step for him to kind of say, you know, talking about his retirement. My father had a similar effort of expressing some feelings, but it began and ended and ended in a single sentence. And, you know, I've learned to that was a big stride for him, and not, you know, not to expect too much more from him than where he can go. But he did try to go somewhere. It was cool. It was good. So fathers, we got to have a discussion on fathers one week, you know?
Yeah, not a bad
idea.
Yeah,
that would be good. That would be good.
One more father story. The other time that my father really seemed to have feelings and talk about his feelings some was when my parents got divorced. And, you know, he was very depressed and sad about that and so forth. And he couldn't, you know, he sort of couldn't hide his feelings. They were so intense. And that was a, you know, time of connection and closeness with us. And then he met my stepmother, who's wonderful. I was very happy for him and very happy for them. She's a wonderful person. But he then closed off his feelings again after the being in love part was over, you know, that first blossom of being madly in love. He loved my stepmother, and they had a good marriage, but she complained quite a bit about him not talking about his feelings. He sort of reverted back, you know, but when he was raw and in pain, that was one of the periods in which we were able to connect a little bit more.
One of the things that's missed from our discussion today, which I think would be a great follow-up topic, is the purpose of feelings. What is the reason, the meaning, the energy behind the feelings? Because there's a reason for them, and I think we don't really understand that. And if the cognitive male had an understanding of that a little bit more, he may be a little bit more willing to go there. And I think that's missed in our topics, or at least in our process around feelings, too.
Hi, Mark, is that you?
It is me.
Hey, yes. Buddy, you're late. Quickly, your minute on the mind because you've got a minute.
Why men don't talk about feelings. Evolutionarily, it doesn't make sense.
That sums it up. Thank you very much.
Okay. There's my minute on the mind. I'll elaborate
right.
Next time.
Really, I noticed that you called in kind of late, so you didn't have time to talk about your feelings about this topic or our feelings about you. Yeah.
I was in a management meeting that got onto a hot topic where people had a lot of feelings, and it took a little longer to resolve them. So,
good.
Yeah. So I can see that I am a bit late, so I apologize.
That's okay.
Yeah. But I actually believe that from an evolutionary psychology perspective, that men talking about their feelings actually in some situations doesn't make a lot of sense, and there's actually some interesting writing on that idea.
Okay. Can you say in 30 seconds what that idea is?
If you are a sort of a hunter kind of guy, talking about your feelings and being very aware of your feelings can be very counterproductive. And that if you are needing to operate independently, being very aware of your feelings is often not so useful. And so there's this kind of notion that evolution has selected against being very emotive in men.
Mm. Well, I wish we had more time to talk about that. I think that's fascinating. Yeah. But anyway, thanks. Glad you got in, Mark.
All right, see ya.
Okay, see ya. And we'll be talking next week about emptiness and boredom with each other. Sounds grim, but I think we can liven that topic up. What do you think, guys?
Yeah.
I think if there's a lot more expression of feelings, things are certainly going to heat up and be interesting.
All right. All right. We will talk about that next week. Here,
all right.
Megan Jo Wilson, to take us away.